very important for the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a historic time, a time in which the pure practices of bhakti had become, obliterated. In other words, they were not really known any longer. He is therefore called by Srila Prabhupada the father of Krishna consciousness movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly also called the father, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur has been given the title also because he retrieved or brought back the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had a wonderful idea how to spread these teachings. I would like to briefly mention two aspects of his teachings. Two aspects of his life. One was his own exemplary life in dividing his time for devotional service. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur came home at 7 o'clock in the evening. Then he took a very measured amount of prasadam, two chapatis and a little sabji and milk. Then he took some rest up to 8:30 or so, only 1.5 hours. Then he took a shower, and then he began his amazing work of translating scriptures from Sanskrit into Bengali, and also writing his own works. He worked throughout the whole night. And then he stopped his work at around 3:30, if I remember correctly, and chanted his rounds. Then you go to visit his house at Svananda Sukhada Kunj in Navadvip. You can see that for chanting his rounds, he had two places. One was in his own house, a little room which was maybe 1 meter 10 times 1 meter 10, very very small room where he chanted. Or he would chant outside on a cement chair. It was made of the substance cement, and he would chant his rounds. Now one neighbor of him has described how he chanted. It said, he chanted as if he was calling someone. Hare Krishna. Then, I do not know exactly how long he chanted, but in the morning he had again a very, very scheduled morning. One was, now I cannot give times, but he used to think every day for half an hour about the ideas of the philosophers who were at that time in existence. For this he would go walk up and down on the veranda. He would just think how to present the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a philosophical way, responding to the different points which great philosophers had made. He was a philosopher, like anything. Then he would see for half an hour any possible guests who had come and who wanted to speak with him. Or if no guest was there, he would answer his correspondence, and then he would go from 10 o'clock onwards into the court. There he showed a very great brilliance in solving complicated questions in law. It is said that he would hear a case and immediately give his judgment. And the judgment was so well considered that people were satisfied with his judgment. For cases which sometimes would take a whole day, you know, asking different witnesses and asking different lawyers to give their opinion, he would use just 5 minutes or so. It was very amazing. Then during the midday hours, he would come back to his house. He would take a short lunch and would rest again for a short time. And then he would go back into the court up to, I do not know really from which time onwards, up to the evening time. This was his schedule every day. Sometimes he would leave, and this is the second aspect of his of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I would like to talk about. He would leave to develop his Namhata scheme. Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered that Lord Nityananda had opened a spiritual marketplace in Mayapur, and he had one commodity, one object of sale, which was the holy name. And he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that there were different prices which were accepted, which were purchasing the holy name. And I'm sorry that I could not prepare this, so I can only speak out of memory. These prices for the which you would pay were different amounts of shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Shraddhavanyan he, shraddhavanyan he. That he who has shraddha, he could purchase the holy name. And if the shraddha was very high, you would get the holy name, a holy name which would reveal to you the form of the Lord and the activities of the Lord. In other words, if you had only a little shraddha, you would have the holy name and would chant it like the sound vibration Hare Krishna. But if you had a lot of shraddha, you would get the holy name with the form of the Lord and the activities of the Lord and so on and so forth. In other words, an increased realization of the holy name. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur also who made this statement, which Srila Prabhupada has repeated one time, that someone who chants the holy name without faith, he may think that he chants Hare Krishna, but what he chants is only the letters of the holy name. H-A-R-E-K-R-S-N-A. But not the holy name himself, which is non-different from Krishna. he said like this, Prabhupada repeated this, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say, this is the alphabet name. It is not the Nama Prabhu and Krishna in the form of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took this concept of the marketplace of the holy name and the different sellers, or let me say purchasers, and made a whole organization out of it, of distributing the holy name, his Namhata system. Krishna consciousness is very much dependent in its spreading in the Namhata system. And Srila Prabhupada talked often about this, the need for congregational preaching. Now, in order to keep the Namhata system alive, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote songs which were sung in the and which explained the deep philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And I would like to read to you two of these songs. Kabe habe bolo se dinamo amar aparadha kuchi shudanamaruchi kripa bole habe hridaye sancha. Kabe habe bolo se dinamo. And then trinadikahina kabe nije mani Sahishnuta guna hridayete ari sakala manada apaniyamani hoye ashvadivo nama rasasara. And please listen to this wonderful song. It is very, very deep. It describes the pure desires of Krishna conscious devotees. Please tell me, when will the day be mine, when my offenses will end, and the power of divine grace will infuse my heart with a taste for the pure holy name? In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wishes for the day when he will obtain the mercy of the holy name, so that the taste of the pure holy name awakens. Thinking myself lower than a blade of grass, bringing forbearance into my heart, respecting all and freed of false pride, when will I taste the essence of the liquid nectar of the holy name? He wants the qualities, humility, tolerance or forbearance, and so on, to come. Then he says, neither wealth nor followers nor beautiful woman described in worldly poetry. None of these bodily pleasures do I covet. He doesn't want material riches. O Lord Gaurahari, please give me causeless devotion to your lotus feet, birth after birth. Then, as I chant the divine name of Sri Krishna, will my body thrill with ecstasy, when there's actually some ecstasy, and my words choke up. When will pallor and trembling occur? Different ecstatic symptoms. And when will my eyes pour forth endless streams of tears? When will I run about on the Ganges bank in Navadvip, guilelessly calling out, Gaura Nityananda? Gaura Nityananda, dancing and singing like a madman, and giving up all mundane consideration. When will Lord Nityananda show me mercy and release me from the illusion of materialism? When will he give me the shade of his lotus feet and let me enter the marketplace of the holy name? And so he prays like this, many pure prayers. And then he has another song which I will sing in a little while. So he had many of such songs, and there's one thing which we have discussed in our with my god brothers a lot. He would also use the melodies which were in vogue at that time. He would use melodies which were sung by the so to say, gypsies of Bengal, the bowls, and put nice Krishna conscious texts to these popular melodies, and in this way he spread his Krishna conscious writings even to the local class people who were simple people who could understand the philosophy from these wonderful songs. He was extremely successful in spreading the Namhata movement in Bengal, And we are happy to say that this his project has been revived again. Now our Mayapur center has 1,800 registered Namhata centers. Imagine 1,800 registered Namhata centers. In Germany we don't have so many. In England we don't have so many. Which is really remarkable. Yes, so this is something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a very dear associate. He disappeared on the day, disappearance day of Dadatha Pandit, which is the day also. Gadadha Pandit was of course a very dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his young days on. When Lord Chaitanya developed strong symptoms of separation from Lord Krishna, he would sometimes call out, "Oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Gadadha Pandit used to say, "Oh, don't worry, he's in your heart." At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take his hands and start to tear open his chest to find Krishna in the heart. So Gadadha Pandit at that time said, no need. Soon he will come around the corner. And the Mother Sachi said, "Oh Gadadha, you have saved Nimai. He would have opened his chest. He has so much separation. Please always stay with him." And this is what Gadadha Pandit did when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri after having accepted the sacred order of sannyas. He also went to Puri and stayed with him, and very often Mahaprabhu, but actually not very often, daily, he visited Gadadha Pandit, and Gadadha Pandit would read from the Bhagavatam, daily to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's very interesting. Mahaprabhu wanted to always hear two particular pastimes. One was the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto, and the second was the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. And when Gadadha Pandit had finished his reading, he said, Lord Chaitanya said, "Say it again." And again and again, these two pastimes were recited. Gadadha Pandit worshipped the beautiful deity of Tota Gopinath, and when he became old and bent over, the deity was too large so that Gadadha Pandit could not give a garland around his neck. So the deity did something which, to our knowledge, is unique. He sat down for Gadadha Pandit. This is the only Krishna deity which exists of that type. Of course, there is the Sladu Gopal who kneels and so on, but maybe there are other Krishna deities. I do not know, because there are so many deities, but to our knowledge, it is the only Krishna deity who sits cross-legged. Imagine, it's a deity out of marble, and he has bent his marble legs to sit so that he would be able to receive the garland of his dear devotee Gadadha Pandit. Hare Krishna. Now I will read to you this beautiful verse of the Bhagavatam. Today is, by the way, a fasting day. Hare Bol. up till 12 o'clock in the morning. Sikre, Krishna, Krishna, Sagavish, Vidisha. Oh, very difficult. Nita. Krishna, Krishna, Sagavish, Vidisha, Baba, Nanitu. I cannot chant it really nice right now. The melody is not coming. Sikrishna, Krishna, Sagavish, Ni Rishab Bhavanti Duk Urupanya Vang Sha Dahanana Palaga Virya Govinda Godvipa Surati Haravatara Yogeshvara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Translation. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. A summary of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is made herein by Srimati Kunti Devi. The Almighty Lord has his eternal transcendental abode where he is engaged in keeping Surabhi cows. He is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He descends on the material world to reclaim his devotees and to annihilate the disturbing elements in groups of political parties and kings who are supposed to be in charge of administration work. He creates, maintains, and annihilates by his unlimited energies, and still he is always full with prowess and does not deteriorate in potency. The cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees of the Lord are all objects of his special attention, because they are very important factors for the general welfare of living beings. Hare Krishna. So this is a summary study of Lord Krishna. He is described as a friend of Arjuna, the chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, this is Vrishni dynasty, the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Yes, he was the one who incinerated the battle of Kurukshetra. Said that his prowess or his strength never gets minimized. He is the proprietor of Goloka Vrindavan, the transcendental abode, and he removes the distress of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. There's a verse which says, Krishna has no other business than making his devotees happy. God. he possesses all mystic powers, and he is the spiritual master, the preceptor of the entire universe. Yes, this is Lord Krishna. Krishna philosophy. Now, or if someone follows the path which Lord Krishna has given, he is sure to become a great. He's sure to be protected first of all by Krishna, and then he becomes a transcendentalist who transcends the material, the modes of material nature, and even in this life can come to the platform of, how do you say, becoming uninfluenced by the devotional path. Now, this path of Bhakti Yoga is assisted by following rules and regulations. There are the positive ones by the bhakti, and the negative ones, which are all summarized as altogether 64 rules and regulations. Hare Krishna. This moment I will leave the Vyasasana for a moment and sit down with you and invite one of my childhood stars, Sigmund Freud, on the seat, who will for a moment preach now to you. Just for a moment, as long as the lady curtain is closed. I had a nice discussion yesterday, not discussion, but we briefly talked with a nice Vaishnav of our Helsinki temple, and I promised to talk if the opportunity arises a little bit on him, so on Sigmund Freud, because he makes a very relevant point, which has been also quoted by one of our Vaishnavas who has given up his sannyas dharma. I thought it's interesting to discuss. This is not my voice now, I can't put another voice. To follow rules and regulations is extremely problematic. The members of the Hare Krishna movement show a certain psychological disorders as a result of this. Because if you give up the rules and regulations, if you suppress your natural desires, which are given to you with your body, your mind, then you will create such a pressure inside of you that you will have a very difficult life and a difficult time. It has been seen by that many young people who try to follow celibacy rules and what to speak of the 64 other rules which are there, they develop a very problematic personality, that is, they become unkind, they become fanatic, and so on and so forth. And because they create something like a pressure cooker mentality in them. Now, this is a statement, and now comes the proof by Bhakta Sigmund. He's not Bhakta Sigmund, he's a non-devotee, by the way. Our personality can be divided into three sections. A large area, which we can describe to be the subconscious. Conscious, the subconscious, we call it the it. Then comes what you are conscious of, the consciousness, and then come the pressures of your education and of religion. Let us give an example. Say you wish to do something, some form of sense gratification. The desire comes up into your conscious, and it manifests as a desire for sexual gratification. Then this desire is now worked upon by the Überbewusstsein, the overconsciousness, which consists of pressure forces. Say, you can't do this, you can't satisfy this desire. It's not it's not accepted in the social norm, or when or the Hare Krishna movement does not approve of it, the GBC is against this, and this pressure which comes about by the subconscious forces and what is given into you by the society or by your rules and regulations and so on, creates the pressured individual, which is somewhere in between. Hari Bol. This creates a neurosis, and that's what we have to deal with. There are big neuroses, small neuroses, but in any case, neuroses are there. So the solution is not to follow any rules and regulations of the religious life. The solution is to fulfill these desires one by one. Don't wait until a huge pressure comes into you and you explode. When Sigmund Freud was giving his first lecture in America, he gave an interesting picture of the problematic individual of modern times. He said, ladies and gentlemen, imagine my consciousness, my conscious personality is like the room in which I'm giving the lecture now. The desires which come from the subconsciousness are like thieves and rogues and drunken people who demand entrance from the outside, and they push against the door. You follow? The noisy people, in the morning I woke up. I had a problem this night. I couldn't sleep the whole night. But in the morning at 3 o'clock, some drunken Helsinki men there fighting. You broke my finger. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. See, it's all blue. And they were speaking in English for some reason, right? And then underneath the room. So imagine these people would enter, would try to enter the room, the hall. This is what the desires are. Oh, I want to go out and get drunk. This one desire. Another one is, I want to really go and play a rock and roll guitar as loud as I want. All these desires will try to enter into our conscious personality. Huh? So what would happen? Well, at that time, those who are friends of me would rush to the door, and they would try to keep the door closed by leaning against it. This what would happen? The rogues and rascals who would like to get entrance into my lecture room, and they would call for, what is the English word? Verstärkung. Enforcement. They would not enforcement. More people. They would call more people. The pressure would build up more and more and more. My friends in the hall would give counter pressure. But because they are coming from outside and they can get endless number of people, finally they would win, and the door would be broken open, and they would come eventually into the hall and create a huge disturbance. Therefore, it is better if I open the door a little bit and let them come in one by one so that we can deal with them. You understand the picture of this? He compares his conscious personality you know, this persona with a hall. There are always from the subconsciousness coming these irrational drives, which are, you know, just crazy ideas, you know, let me do this, let me do that, let me do this. It's irrational, they are not filtered. And he compares the education which we have and the rules and regulations which a religion gives to its members to these counterforce. And he says the end result is highly problematic, that there will be disturbances like negation and suppression, which will create these neuroses. Haribol, what do you think now? Does this sound like something you have thought yourself, maybe? Does it look maybe like something which you have observed in somebody around you? Have you maybe observed it in yourself also sometimes, that you were so you know, pressured, and as a result you became maybe unkind towards others, or very arrogant, or very defensive, or very whatever. Only the tick-tack of the clock on the wall answers the lecture giver. Otherwise, there was a concerned silence. What Sigmund Freud says, thank you, Sigmund, you can now sit down in the audience and don't talk any longer. What he has said is certainly correct for someone who does not apply the Krishna conscious, who is not Krishna conscious in his mind. When you come to Krishna, when there's Krishna in your consciousness, he has a certain way of dealing with the problems of the individual, and that is that by the light of his personality, he drives away these dark forces of our conditioned existence. Prabhupada chose as a logo for the Back to Godhead magazine a picture where Lord Krishna is compared to be like the sun. And with the rays of the sun, he takes away the darkness. I think all devotees have experienced sometimes a disturbed situation, that they were forcing themselves for years, and they are physically and mentally exhausted now. And they have seen, when they become Krishna conscious, that Krishna consciousness is like the sun, which drives away all these tensions in the personality. Sigmund Freud's solution does not really work. He says to fulfill desires one by one, but there is a sad fact that you cannot fulfill these material desires. They just don't become satisfied. Generations upon generations have tried to extinguish the fire of desire by pouring sense objects into the fire, but they have seen, just like you cannot extinguish a fire by pouring oil into it, you cannot fulfill material desires by pouring the so-called objects of gratifications on them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes this very nice in the Kalyana Kalpataru, that's a song collection of his, where he says, every time one desire, one tries to fulfill a desire, two new desires are born. It reminds us of the North European legends of someone fighting the dragon. Is it the dragon? Yeah. And he was chopping off one head, and two heads appeared. Do you remember these from your childhood? No? In Finland, we have maybe other legends, the trolls and so on. But in Germany, at least, we have these. Siegfried, kennst du die? Siegfried sagen, some, doesn't work. Hare Krishna. What works is if we let Krishna appear in our hearts, and if we are properly Krishna conscious. Have you ever? I think I want to tell an experience which all devotees have had. When there's Krishna in the heart, like hopefully this evening we will sing His holy name. One feels so relieved, isn't it? One feels so, when all these worries and disappointments and what will happen in the future, they will go effectively. Do you remember? Gopinath? Looking at me, still totally under the impression of Sigmund Freud. Maybe I'm not preaching so good as he does. Remember when you had the holy Dham and you chanted Hare Krishna. Come on, don't be mental. How happy one becomes, and how the life is solved, and how one can remember the times of Sankirtan when the Lord showered His mercy on you. In the Bhagavatam is a shloka which compares the material desires with waves, and said that if one hears about Krishna, Vasudeva, and the Lord comes in the heart, then this gunami chakra, guna means this whirlpool of material desires, come to a standstill. It's just like when rivers come into the ocean and there's a powerful tide. It's called tide is when the water goes back or when it comes. Flood is when the right word I wanted. Tide is when it goes back. And there's a powerful flood from the ocean. It floods the river and fulfills it. So Krishna consciousness has this tremendous potency. Sigmund Freud, he died in a very, very inauspicious death. He had cancer in one of the jaws here, and he was describing at the end of the life, I'm drowning in an ocean of misery. You see, he had no Krishna consciousness in his heart, and his life ended very, very miserable. His good philosophy could not work against the miseries of material existence, because it does not work. It's only a theory. There's a song with which I would like to end this class. It is on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says, where are the sources of Krishna consciousness? It is called Shodha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula Bhakata Seva Paramasiti Premalatikara Mula. We have a town in Finland called Lati. So he is Premalatikara Mula. Maravatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori Krishna Vasati Vasati Boli Parama Adare Bori. I will not bore you with my very bad singing this morning, but will directly read to you the translation. The dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees gives rise to devotional service, and service to the devotees is itself the supreme perfection and the root of the tender creeper of divine love. When you feel tensed inside, take the dust of the lotus feet of and do service to the devotees, and you will see how your heart becomes happy. Shyamaladika. It works. With great care, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I observe holy days like Ekadasi and Jamashtami, for they are the mother of devotion. When you observe these holy days, you invite the mother of devotion in your heart. And with the greatest reverence and love, I choose as my dwelling place the transcendental abode of Sri Krishna. Devotees have experienced this, who have gone to the holy places, that they become so happy and transcendentally peaceful. Yesterday we went to a wonderful Grihastha couple who fed us until even the last shadow of hunger was gone. And our Grihastha, Mahashai, it's a great soul, has told us how he derived such a wonderful inspiration while residing in Jagannath Puri for a few, 2 weeks or I don't know, a few days or so. In the company of loving devotees, I will visit all those places where my Lord Gaurasundar traveled and performed his pastime. Devotees even like to go where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed only for a couple of hours, because these places have so much potency to take care of the heart disease. My mind always begs to hear the music of the Mridanga. He wants to hear the kirtan. And my heart dances in ecstasy whenever I hear the kind of kirtan established by Lord Gaurasundara. No, wrong, Gaurachandra. I feel supreme bliss when I behold the deity forms of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and I conquer all worldly illusions by honoring the Lord's prasadam at 12 o'clock. Sorry, this is not here. Every day Goloka Vrindavan appears in my home when I see Lord Hari being worshipped there. My joy knows no bounds when I see the Ganges, a river of nectar emanating from the Lord's lotus feet. The sight of the Tulasi plant soothes my soul, for I know she gives pleasure to Lord Krishna. I feel that my life has been fulfilled when I honor shak, a green leafy vegetable preparation that is a favorite of Lord Chaitanya. Whatever Bhaktivinoda obtains that furthers devotional service to Sri Krishna, he accepts every day with the greatest joy. These are sources of devotional service, and they can help quench this constant problem in the heart, which is there when there are material desires which cannot be fulfilled. This creates a problem, it is correct. We suffer because of desires. The first lecture which Lord Buddha ever gave was the fire lecture. He gave the lecture, Shishtikata and myself sat under this tree where he gave his first lecture to get the feeling of this particular lecture. And I was remembering the lecture, at least in one case, Lord Buddha said, "We are on fire." He said, "Everyone is on fire. Can you see the fire, Muniraj? Can you see the fire, Janardhan Prabhu?" "No." "Shishtikata, you are on fire." "And if you are on fire." These fires are material. Manoharini, there's a fire. These fire, Lord Buddha was describing, is a fire of which comes from the material senses. The eyes want to see beautiful things, the ears want to hear, the tongue wants to hear, the sense of touch, Jayadvaj, wants to touch. It's a fire. And he said, he made his point that it's no use to run after this fire and to put material things there because it becomes bigger. He said we must give up material desires by the Eightfold Noble Path. It's so difficult, you can't imagine. I will not even speak about it because it's so theoretical. The Buddha had recognized the problem. Sigmund Freud is not the first one who had it. And he had a process of a certain meditation where he would just not give sense objects to the senses and slowly starve the fire so that it would stop. It's a theory which does not, anyways, we don't want to speak bad about the Buddha today. But in some ways it works, but never ultimately, because desires come from the soul and they must be fulfilled spiritually, otherwise they will pull us on the material side. Hare Krishna. So, Bhagavad Gita Thakur has sung in this wonderful song how to take care of desires. Go in the association of pure devotees. Hear with your mind the Madanga beats and have the kirtan. Gopinath Prabhu, I think you have the talent, but you should maybe learn. Increase your madanga, because you know already nice harmonium and nice madanga, and now if you become an expert and you can just simply overwhelm the devotees with nice kirtan as it is done by Gaura Sangha. Hare Krishna. Dobro, dobro, dobro. Good. I will end here. Please forgive. This was not a very well thought out lecture. It was a potpourri of many points which were put together. I tried to serve you, but I'm not a very good servant. Not very talented. Hare Krishna. Good. Jayadvaja. Very often it is that you just put so much sense gratification, you do so much sense gratification, in other words, that you just totally burn yourself out with sense gratification, then you lose the desires. Just do it. Don't have a guilt complex about it. And then it will give peace. Momentarily, it does work for a short time. This was my philosophy when I was a bhakta. You know, we had no sense gratification except for the Sunday feast, and our cook made sure that this would be, you know, it was, everything was in there. Gulab jams, which were soaked in sugar water. Oh, the Hamburg Sunday feast, you can't imagine what they were. We had bowls, you know, like families use these bowls of porcelain, and they put the potatoes, and then a whole family of five heads serve. We had two bowls of such things, and you would just enter the ocean of sense gratification. We saved money for the whole week, and there were 1,201 preparations for each one, and we just ate and ate and ate. We continued this in the Heidelberg Temple. After the Sunday feast, we were just lying on our backs, holding our stomachs, hoping there would be an end of pain. You know, you would hear bodily sounds, you know, from all directions, and so on. Then one devotee discovered some tablets which were good against the acid production in the stomach, which were distributed after the Sunday feast to the inside, you know, to help cope with the pain. And I remember we had very much this philosophy, but finally we found out it did not work. Because we get older, and then we found out, if I always suffer the whole Sunday afternoon and the whole Monday from overeating, when will I ever start to eat normally? But the next Sunday came, all the preparations were there. There was a short silence of thinking, should I eat more or not? And then again, in other words, it's not that we stopped overeating by eating. See, then you are correct. On Monday, no one can convince you to again sit down for a Sunday feast. No one. Hare Krishna. But on Tuesday or Wednesday, it slowly comes back. And on by Friday, the desire is fully there and again. It is like this sense gratification. Now I have given a picture which some of you might recognize. The philosophical point is that a certain sanskara, this is a deep impression, is created in the psychology, in the mind. And this sanskara will drive you to do the same mistake again. Momentarily, for a few hours, the senses are just weakened by this flood of sense gratification. But something is created in the subtle mind, which is a sanskara, which will scream again for gratification. You know these things. There must have been a time when you broke the regulative principles in your life. before you came to Krishna consciousness, we have one devotee only who followed all the four regulative principles before she joined Krishna consciousness in this life, but not in the last life. These things have an impression in the mind. You can remember the things that you did. They sometimes come in the form of dreams back, and they haunt you almost. Oh, I would like to do this. Especially the sexual drive. Whatever is done in this life, but it creates memories which come in the form of pictures and desires, which in an uncontrolled moment can disturb even the mind of a sadhu. Yeah? Hare Krishna. So this philosophy, let me just overindulge, does not work because, again, sanskara is created, which gives rise to further desires. And if you do it very, very much, you stand a very weak chance in Krishna consciousness. Those who have been very sensual before they joined Krishna consciousness, they have difficulties. Not that it's easier for them. Yes, even they come from previous lives, yes, sanskaras. In his work Bhakti Alokya, Bhakti Thakur speaks about these sanskaras. But also the good sanskaras travel with us. Are the desires pulled? How do you mean pushed? Pushed, yes. By the modes of material. Yes, certainly there are desires which are influenced by the tama gun. These are more desires for eating these strong things. And raja gun, there are more passionate desires. And sattva gun, yes. They are influenced by the mode. Yes, they come due to contact with the modes of material nature. Desire is ultimately a spiritual phenomena. It arises in the soul, in that body. There you will not find any desire. It comes from the soul, and by the influence of the material modes of nature. The desire, this pure desire is colored. You can compare it with a pure white light which goes through a prisma and takes on the red color, the blue color, the yellow color. I think these are the three, if I'm correct. So the modes of nature color our desire. For instance, the desire for sexual enjoyment is ultimately pure love of Krishna, which is directed to the physical body and then influenced by the desire to be compassionate to others, which is a sattvic desire, is a pure desire to love Krishna, which comes in contact with the mode of goodness, and then you want to help others. The desire for money is a pure desire which comes in contact with the mode of passion and the turning into greed. Mm-hmm. This is what neither the Buddha nor the Buddha, he knew he is an incarnation of Krishna, but he didn't preach it. nor Sigmund Freud know that all desires have a pure original form, and if you can desire, and if you can have pure sense gratification, sense gratification sounds so, pure gratification, then you do not desire the other things. Have you ever watched after a kirtan? You're totally after you have chanted, and then you just don't desire these foolish things any longer, if it was a good kirtan. Good. Hare Krishna. We need pure gratification. What do you think, Yamaradika? Yamaradika has saved my life when we were in Yuvaskona or whatever the town is. I was dying from hunger. My last moments had come, and then Yamaradika gave the best feast in the world, and therefore now I'm totally grateful for the rest of my life. Hare Krishna. All right, then I want to thank you very much. All the best. Please come this afternoon. If you can come this evening, you are cordially invited to join. It's nice that we that today is this evening. We will just sing and we will read different nice verses. Please come well rested so that you are able to concentrate on the different readings. I will just sing, read different nice verses from the songbook, which will increase our bhakti. Yes. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.